In this episode of Social Media Secrets, we are going to talk about some of my biggest failures. Oh my gosh, this is going to be intense. Let's cue that intro and get this episode going. Hey, I'm Rachel Peterson, marketing expert and queen of social media. The question entrepreneurs are always asking is, how do I make social media work? How do I make money with social media for my clients and for myself? We're going to break it down on this episode of Social Media Secrets. Hey guys, it's me, Rachel. I am so excited to share with you, as weird as that sounds, some of the biggest mistakes, failures, tough experiences I've had in building a business. And I'm excited about this because I love researching people's failures. I love researching people's regrets. I love learning about things people wish that they had done, advice they'd give to their younger selves. I love, there's just so much. Like, I love learning about people I admire's favorite books. I'm always studying people. I love studying patterns. And so I'm excited to share with you guys some of my favorite failures. And my favorite failures are the biggest, most stressful ones. I'm not going to be sharing ones in my personal life because all of our lives are so different. And my failures in my personal life, I don't know if you guys would want to hear it just because I'm so different than you, just like you're so different from the next person, which is so interesting. So let's talk a little bit about business. And I also am excited to share this because I know that there have been so many times where I was like, can someone please just tell me I'm not the only one? Can someone please just tell me that people I admire, people I respect, or even just someone else has been through this? Please tell me. And sometimes it can feel like you're really alone with dealing with those kind of things like failures and mistakes. Okay, so the first one that I'm going to share, and this is a really big one. This was one that affected all of us for a long time. I used to be really excited about partnerships quite a bit. I would jump into the prospect or the conversation of partnerships really fast. And it's interesting because this one's almost like twofold. It's almost like a 1-2 punch a little bit, which is so interesting. But I spent so long searching for dream partnerships, like trying so hard to find people who could bring all of the things that I didn't feel like I had and to fill in the holes. Now, I'm not actually against partnerships, but I will tell you that I am very, very careful these days about going in on them because there was one time where I almost went into partnership with someone. I'm not going to mention who he is, but there was someone that I had the opportunity to go into partnership with, and probably about a week before we were going to start, one of my team members said, I really have this strong gut feeling that this isn't a good fit. And I was like, okay, let's really think about it. Let's talk about it. Let's see what it looks like. And then I got that same gut feeling and I was like, you know, I can't move forward in this partnership. And that person suddenly became very aggressive towards me. He has a large Facebook group and he likes to talk about me and how he's the one who made all my success, which is so funny to me because I'm like, if that's what helps you sleep, that's totally fine. But what was so interesting for me was that it's not even about him and it's not even about the situation. It's about what lesson I learned in my desire to jump so fast into partnerships, the desire to find someone that I could trust and cling to. And the truth is, a lot of those decisions were being made out of this belief that I wasn't enough, that belief that there's no way that I can stand on my own two legs and build businesses. I must have a partner. I must have someone else that stands right next to me because otherwise, who's the adult in the room? It can't be me. I still feel like I'm a kid. Do you know what I mean? So it was a thing where I would always jump into partnership and then the next partnership and then the next partnership and even just conversations about partnerships. And there have been very few that have paid off. And one thing that's really interesting is if you go into a prospect of a partnership and decide that you don't want to go into it, people oftentimes get really angry, which actually tells you so much. It tells you everything that you want to know about them. How do they handle it when things do not go well? And so what's so crazy is that I don't regret not jumping into partnerships. I regret desiring to jump into partnerships so badly. Now, I do have business partners, and I will share with you that anyone who is a partner is someone I've known for a long time now. So, for example, my husband Paul and I are business partners. He is in charge of operations, hiring, firing. He's one of my favorite people. He's so cool. And so Paul and I are business partners, which is cool because we're also, you know, partners in life and partners in kids, and we're also married. So I think that that's pretty neat. And then, you know, my team members, a couple of my core team members are also partners, and I've known them for, gosh, like 6 to 12 years. So it's not something I rush into anymore. And that was one of the biggest mistakes I made. And I got out really lucky. Sometimes leaving partnerships can leave you destroyed financially or in your reputation. So just keep that in mind and ask yourself, why am I feeling this desire to jump into a partnership? Another big mistake that I made early on was not having pretty darn clear preframes on expectations. Now, this is everything from hiring someone to working with clients. The more that you communicate on the front end and document it so that you can always reference back, the more powerful things are. Now, the reason I share this is because everyone is forgetful. Everyone, every single person is. And so sometimes, you know, you'll work with a client and you'll say, no, I told you at the very beginning of our contract, I don't work on weekends. I never respond on weekends. Would you like me to send you where you signed it to, you know, show like, yes, I commit to this? And most of the time people will say like, yeah, actually I do. The more that you put things into preframes and have it like signed off on, written down, the more powerful that can be later on. If you tell a team member what their timeline is for deliverables, get it in writing. Not only do you want to preframe, over communicate, but you want to get it in writing and potentially even get a signature just so that it's always like, okay, let's be super clear. Now, I have a friend who worked in agencies for years, and her name is Samia. And the cool part is, so Samia is one of my favorite people. I actually don't spend enough time texting her. That just reminded me. I should probably text her. But Samia is amazing. She's in marketing, and she worked for agencies for years. And they actually had this really cool system where when a client disregarded their processes. Now, she's not the owner, by the way. She is a project manager. So what's cool is she comes from the employee side of things, and I get to like learn about her experiences on that side of the equation. So when a client disregarded a recommendation that they had in the agency, they would create what's called a red card. So if the client disagreed, they would create this red card that the client would need to sign off on. And they would write down the date, and they'd say, on this and this date, here was the recommendation we gave you for your website or for this project. And here's what you decided to do. And then they needed to sign it. And the reason for that is because 1, 3, 6 months later, 12 months later, you bring in a new person, something doesn't go right. And before you know it, people are like, why did you guys not do that thing? You said to do that thing. Why didn't you ever do that thing? People totally forget. So preframe, communicate, get it in writing, over communicate, maybe even get a signature. So I loved that system, learning it from Samia. Like I said, it's just one of my favorite people. So it was really fascinating for me because that would have saved us so much heartache. Another one of the biggest mistakes that I have ever made is thinking that I would ever get everything done. I really truly believed that I could catch up every day. And I believed that you had to catch up and finish everything every day in order to be a rock star. So I would work like 100-hour weeks. And a lot of people remember those days. Like, I looked so tired. I swear I look younger now than I did 4 years ago after another kid. because back then I wasn't getting enough sleep. I wasn't taking care of my nutrition. I wasn't drinking water. I was so focused on just trying to get caught up, hoping that one day my to-do list would be done. It's never going to be done. Never. And I know that you might think, like, isn't this just a habit or a discipline or a change in methodology? Well, yes, but the biggest mistake was compromising my health and my sanity and my relationships by trying to get everything done. It just doesn't work. And now that I know it, there's this like little laugh, and I almost want to like come up with a phrase for it, and I will at some point. But there's this that lie in the back of our heads all the time. If I can just finish everything, you'll never be finished with everything, or else you'd be dead. Like, it doesn't make sense. So it's this beautiful reminder to me, my to-do list will never be done. If it was, it would be called a to-done list. that's big. One of the biggest, most public failures that I had was actually before I started these businesses. And I just like, it hurts so bad. I scraped up money because I believed with all my heart that we were going to buy. This was, 6 years ago. I believed we were going to buy a fast food chicken chain. And I was like, we're going to open a location in Memphis, Tennessee. This seems very random, doesn't it? So, but I was working for the corporate franchisor, for the franchise, and I was their marketing coordinator, working part-time, $15 an hour. That was my first real client. That was the client that sat in my chair and wanted highlights, and then we started talking about social media. And I was like, I'm going to buy a fast food fried chicken company. And I noticed on social media, a lot of people wanted that fried chicken company in Memphis, Tennessee. And I was like, oh, we're going to do it. And I had this like wild idea. Okay, so ready for how crazy this failure is. I'm going to stack this up just a little bit. I had this wild idea because the franchisees would make anywhere from $90,000 per year in, you know, like take home, which when you know a lot more about business, you start learning like, oh, that's what that looks like. But they would make up to $250,000. And that's if they were doing really, 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 really well. And I had in my mind like, oh, what we'll do is we'll live in Minnesota, and every other week, Paul will fly down with my dad. They'll alternate weeks and they'll run this restaurant, and it'll be fine because we'll be making $90,000 per year. And that's so much money that, like, you know, it's totally worth it. It's totally gonna work. I had no idea how expensive like flights were. Just totally disconnected from reality. But I was like, it's gonna happen. This is gonna happen. This is so cool. And then we decided, because we couldn't get the money to make it happen, we were like, what if we crowdfunded it? What if we got on Kickstarter? Or I think it was either Kickstarter or, oh gosh, I think it was Kickstarter. And I was like, we're going to crowdfund this restaurant. And so my dad and I flew down to Memphis, Tennessee, and went. Has anyone ever been to Memphis, by the way? It's a very different environment than Minnesota. So we walked the streets of Memphis, Tennessee, handing out flyers, connecting with people, telling them about this amazing opportunity for Mrs. Winner's Chicken and Biscuits to come on back to Memphis, Tennessee. And the campaign went live, and the news decided to pick it up. It went live while we were in Tennessee. The news picks it up. It's all over Memphis news. I saw us on the news. We were in on the online news circuits too. And I think we ended up raising like $1,000 of $250,000. That was pretty embarrassing. That was falling flat on our faces. Now, looking back, I look at that and I'm so glad that we did not fundraise $250,000. Can you imagine how hard that would be on my marriage and my kids if Paul was flying down to Memphis every other week to run a restaurant? Like, that doesn't even make sense. What was I thinking? I mean, sure, I was being very, you know, inventive and coming up with ideas, but at the same time, I'm so glad it didn't work out. But it did not feel like it then. I was like, my dad and I got a hotel room with like double beds, you know, across from each other. And I was like sobbing, ugly crying, falling on my face in front of everyone. People saying like, this is amazing. And I'm so glad it didn't happen. We're exactly where we need to be. But in that moment, oh my gosh, I thought the world was over. I thought I can never show my face again. And I'm going to tell you guys, I have had huge successes with clients. I've had huge failures with clients. I have had amazing speaking opportunities, and I have bombed in front of an audience of 500. I have been on podcasts where everything was just jiving right, and I've been on podcasts when I had a fever and couldn't make sense of anything. And you know what? They're all okay. If you continue to move forward, the failures are a part of the journey, and they're what honestly make life like really interesting. You wouldn't know what an amazing meal is if you hadn't had a terrible meal. So I just want to share all of that. If you are looking for someone to guide you through tough situations, through your failures, and on towards more and hopefully more successes, and to support you with your mindset, you might be ready for my mastermind and mentorship program, The Social Click. If that sounds like something that you're looking for, if you're wanting to scale your business, if you're wanting to diversify how you make money in your business, head on over to Click for Life. That's CLIQUEFOR Life. Clickforlife.com and apply. If it's a good fit, we'll reach out. I'll catch you guys in the next episode of Social Media Secrets. Bye for now.